This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The Prospect Review Podcast is your source for the latest news and information on the 2014 NFL Draft.
With the 29th pick, the New England Patriots like.
Now here to preview the prospects, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
April 16th, 2014, as we make our way through the prospects on these podcasts, we will move on today to tight ends, a position that has been much debate among the PFW boys on PFW in progress and could be seen as, depending on how you look at it, a major need if you believe Gronk's health is an ongoing concern and you must replace him as a starting caliber tight end, or a far lesser need if you're one of those that believes, given the wide receivers and everything going on, they're going to be more of a 3-4 wide receiver type offense, and Gronk is enough, and you have who, man, and you have some depth there. So we will start, Paul Perillo, by looking at the top of the draft. Widely considered the number one tight end prospect, and maybe the only lock to go in the first round, is North Carolina's Eric Ebron. 6'4", 250 pounds, 4'6", 40. Certainly looks the part, has the measurables. Never put up massive numbers in college, like some of the other guys we've talked about or will talk about that had, you know, 80, 90, 100 catch type production. 62 catches for 900 yards. Definitely a pass catcher. Is he the real deal stud that he's going to be drafted to be?
You know, I'm not sure if he's going to live up to that kind of stuff. I do like the measurables here, and I do think he's an athletic guy. I've seen him play a little bit. I have not watched the tape as extensively as I have at some of the other positions. I know you have. I know you're not as high on him as maybe some others are. I like him. I think that he's at the top of this chart for a reason. I think he is a little bit better than most, and I do think he provides at least a semblance of the combination that Belichick is often talking about when it talks about these tight ends, a guy who can block and at least provide a little bit of physicality. I think he's more of a receiver, but I would say more so than a guy like Jace Amaro, I think that Ebron is a little bit more of a combination, but you don't like him as much. Is that right?
No, I think he's going to be the ultimate tease forever. You know, maybe a rich man's Benjamin Watson. Looks the part, flashes athleticism, and then just never really pans out. Because let's be honest, in today's NFL, if you're going to be considered worthy of a top, let's say, 15 pick at tight end, people are going to expect you to catch 80-plus passes for 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. That is, you know, that is what the position has become with the likes of Graham and Gronkowski, Gonzalez, Witten, you know, even some other lesser types put up big numbers. You know, the days of being an okay tight end and catching, you know, 45 passes are long gone and hard to find, and I think that's where he's going to be. I think he's going to be the ultimate tease, probably some big plays, probably some big games.
So if you think that, then you're
but never put it together.
Your Benjamin Watson thing is pretty accurate then, because I think that there was a lot of tease in Benjamin Watson. To a lesser extent, I think Daniel Graham too.
Because just one, Watson, a lot of tease.
He never ceases to amaze me. But Graham as well. I mean, I think Graham was a little bit better in terms of a blocker, but I always thought
not necessarily by design.
Yeah, no, I always thought there was something more there to be tapped as a receiver, and he never really put it all together. But Ebron, we'll see what ends up happening. And I know there's a couple other guys that you've sort of talked about and been high on at various times during this process, Safarian Jenkins being one of them. Jace Amaro, I told you, when we were at the combine together, Jace Amaro walked by in the lobby, and he almost reminded me, just looking at him. He has all the stats like Aaron Hernandez. He almost reminded me of Aaron Hernandez just looking at him.
Yeah, certainly a little bigger than Hernandez, 6'5", 265, but very athletic, very much used in that way, in that, you know, high-octane Texas Tech offense. And he actually talked, remember, a lot at the Combine about Cliff Kingsbury showing him tape of the Patriots and the way they use their tight ends. I think he is going to be a very productive NFL player. My guess is his numbers will be better than those of Ebron when it all shakes down. I don't know that he'll be great. I'm not saying he's going to be a dominant tight end. I just think this guy, he had the production at Texas Tech, and my guess is he's going to have the production in the NFL.
I agree. I think he's going to have a lot of catches. Now, you know where I'm going with this. It's sort of a backhanded compliment because you know what I think about the reception in and of itself. I'm not sure that he'll be better than Ebron. I think he will catch more passes than Ebron, though. I agree with you on that.
Safarian Jenkins, and another 6'5", 260. I think he is going to be a pretty good player in this league. Has some issues. You know, there are some questions about sort of his personality and rubbing people the wrong way, coachability, things of that nature. Had a DUI at one point, so has some of those red flags. But Mackey Award winner, you know, is just a big, soft-handed target that I think is going to score some touchdowns in the league. He's kind of a second-round type prospect at this point. All these guys here, Amaro, Safarian Jenkins, Nicholas out of Notre Dame, they're all sort of early second. You know, maybe they sneak into the first. Nicholas from Notre Dame is an interesting guy. 6'6", 270. I know a lot of Patriots fans are sort of lusting after lining him up next to Gronk and maybe having some sort of twin tower type tight end set up. You know, he was a converted outside linebacker. Not the huge numbers that some of these guys we would talk about, like in Amaro, in that offense.
But big fluctuation with the quarterback situation.
Oh, yeah, and that offense, though, I mean, is just not really set up for it. He's an old-school guy. He can catch, but he can block.
He can block,
he would
too.
Definitely
like
give you two guys that you could choose to, you know, you could come up, line in a two tight end set, and boom, motion him out, play different combinations, I think. I think that would definitely give you some versatility. Another guy we should talk about, since apparently he is somewhere in the same building as us today, is Iowa's C.J. Fedorowicz. Again, 6'6", 260 pounds, has that build. All-around tight end, which probably isn't surprising coming out of Iowa. That offense, Kirk Ferentz, the offensive line. And obviously not just the Kirk Ferentz connection, but remember Brian Ferentz was the tight ends coach here in 2011. Now the offensive line coach at Iowa. We know how much tight ends are a part of the offensive line and blocking. Fedorowicz would be an intriguing prospect. A little later, you know, our buddy at NFL Draft Scout has him as maybe a third or a fourth round pick. So if you're of the belief that it's not a marquee need, but you do need to add something to the position, Fedorowicz might be an option.
And maybe if you're in that camp that's looking for more of the blocking type, because you're right about Iowa. They have had a lot of tight ends come into the league. Most of them haven't necessarily been considered pass catchers first. Moiaki might be one that turned into a decent receiver
Clark.
Before he had a lot of injuries, and Dallas Clark was certainly 100% a receiver. But Fedorowicz is a guy that can do it both ways too, and I think that's one of the things that Belichick looks at. I think that's what really intrigued him with Gronkowski when he had the opportunity, is that he thought he could get a little bit of both out of them.
Well, then, if we're gonna go the guys that can do it all, we'll go to Arthur Lynch out of Georgia.
I have to say that I'm a little stunned that it took you this long to get to this.
Massachusetts native, played at Gillette Stadium in the Super Bowls when Dartmouth was robbed by the referees.
In that game
against Everett, who clearly paid off the officials to try to win that game. But all SEC tight end by coaches and media, really fixated in his talk at the Combine about the fact that nobody blocks like him, and not too many people went against the likes of Clowney and the opponents in the SEC, but also Jarvis Jones and all these other guys that he had to face in practice over the years in his time at Georgia. You know, he's not going to be a star in the NFL, is not going to catch what I said earlier, 85 passes for 1,000 yards. But I do think Arthur Lynch is one of those guys that'll be a second or a third tight end for about a decade in the NFL and carve out a nice career for himself, occasionally make some plays. You know, he's got the build. As I said, he's got the background as a blocker and a pass catcher, but never put up huge numbers with Aaron Murray in that offense.
Yeah, and he's done what I like about Arthur Lynch, you know, all kidding aside, and the connection, he's from your hometown and all that, and, you know, we like to see the local guys get a chance, but every time they play in an important game, he seems to show up. He seems to play better.
It's what we do from Dartmouth. We rise to the occasion.
You know, and that's certainly what Dartmouth did in that Super Bowl, where they somehow managed to stay within the same area code as Everett in that game, which was really a remarkable achievement before losing in overtime. But
despite potentially having two NFL starters on their roster.
I do say that it's impressive to me that you look and you look back and you see his stats for his career, and they're okay. They're not terrible.
Right.
But then you look at him against Alabama in the SEC championship game, and he was one of the best players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even this past year, I thought in some of the bigger games, it was Murray going to Lynch with games on the line. in big spots, and some of the things that Mark Richt had him do. Didn't he throw a pass that you talked to you about that he was he was really nervous
himself.
About? Just to me, you find your athletes, you find your guys that you can count on the most, and those are the guys you rely on in big games. So that's a big point in his favor.
And one of the things that jumps out, I don't have the exact number, but he's always been a big catch guy. Most of his catches went for 25, 30 yards, and that was one of the things, if you remember, we talked a lot about with Gronkowski, when everybody talked about, you know, Hernandez was the pass catcher. Well, no matter how far you looked back with Gronkowski, he made plays. He might not have had Hernandez-like Mackey Award-winning catch totals.
Well, that gets to my whole Jason Morrow, Eric Ebron thing.
So I think Arthur Lynch is going to have a nice career, but we've probably spent enough time on him. Moving on to later draft picks. Interesting, a few more tight ends with Dartmouth, Massachusetts roots, not just Dartmouth, with Lynch.
One with a great name.
Who do you like, Rob Blanchflower?
No.
A.K.A. Gronkflower?
No.
Oh, who? Richard Rodgers?
Justin Perillo.
Oh, I don't care about him. I like Richard Rodgers, actually. Went to Cal, Massachusetts native,
yep.
And had an interesting career there in that in one season, 2 years ago, they asked him to bulk up. He got up to about 280 pounds and was essentially a blocking tight end. This past year, they said, well, we need you to be more part of the offense. You're going to have an H-back-like role. And he dropped about 25 or 30 pounds to get down into that role at 240-something and then caught, you know, 40 passes for 600 yards in a different role. So you talk about that versatility. There's a guy, almost like a Hollywood actor, who had two different roles to prepare for and ballooned up for one to be a blocker and then lost the weight to come down and make some plays at a lighter weight and skinnier. So I think he's an intriguing option. Not real fast, 4.87, not really what you're looking for. But as he's a seventh round projection.
Oh, yeah, these are late guys.
These are guys you're adding to the bottom of the roster. And then, as I mentioned, Rob Blanchflower from Leominster and St. John's via UMass was injured a lot last year. Actually couldn't really practice much, just played. But
and he had surgery
double
to take care of that.
Groin, you know, Fred probably thinks he's
sports
faking
hernia.
It.
It's probably
the
lexicon nowadays.
But they called him Gronk Flower because he wore 87, and he obviously played in the same stadium as Gronk here with their home games at Gillette Stadium for UMass. So a big guy and certainly looks the part. You know, obviously you always have that concern, jump in level and all that, athleticism.
Yeah.
But I think there's some interesting guys late in the draft if the Patriots don't go early.
Yeah, and we could have, you know, people were joking around with us about the argument that broke out of nowhere when we were talking about quarterbacks and Spurrier and all that. We could have our debate on tight end, just how much they actually need a tight end. I think we disagree on that a little bit, and we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, you're just going to turn the whole offense over to that slew of receivers.
No, I want to get...
Oh, we got Brandon LaFell. You're right. The tight end needs are closed.
What I'm saying is I don't think that you take a guy as early as you want to take him simply because you're unsure of when Gronk is going to get back. Now, if you think that Gronk is never going to be back, then you need to turn the page and do away with it. You know, and kind
do
of
away
start
with
over.
Gronk? We're going to take him out back and shoot him?
Well, no. Well, get rid of him. I mean, get something for him if you don't think he's ever going to be able to play.
I just think you need
him.
Insurance for when he's not back yet, for when he could be out, and for the fact that you do use a lot of two tight ends, and you'd have that opportunity.
I don't want a first or second round insurance policy. That's
I want a second round insurance policy. That's what I've zeroed in on.
And that's what the argument that we've had. One other guy that we should throw out there that our fans constantly bombarding us with emails about, and that's the kid from Oregon who got dismissed from the team, Colt Lyera. Lyerla.
I believe.
You know, another athletic guy in this group. Really, his stock really dropped. Now he's
that
NFL.
Happens when you get a cocaine arrest.
Exactly. Now
I mean that happens.
His NFL
you know,
draft
all your lines
scout
you like
has
to
him
throw
as a borderline
snorting lines
draftable
off strippers
candidate.
At he was doing it.
Snapping lines
whatever it's called
off a hooker's ass.
He self-admitted he was doing it.
Yeah. Listen.
It was snowing in Oregon.
I'm not going to dismiss the possibility. The Patriots have certainly
I have completely dismissed it.
Brought in their share of guys with checkered pasts. I would be stunned.
And
I would be absolutely
stunned. The
Aaron stunned.
Hernandez comparisons go well beyond any off-field issues. He lined up in the backfield, took hands-offs. He looked a lot like the Patriots used Aaron Hernandez. I thought he only had average hands, but a 4.6 40 for a guy at 6'4", 242.
Very athletic.
That you certainly have versatility and athleticism there from that position. I think given recent history and everything and
I
his
agree.
issues, I would really, really be surprised if
stunned.
They went in that direction.
I would be stunned.
But But somebody will give him a chance. We know that because this is sports, and that's
what happens. Cincinnati probably doesn't know that he got dismissed from the team.
Right,
so.
And they need another tight end.
You never know. And they only drafted, one of the last couple of
had a first rounder in two of the last 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So get back to the top. Eric Ebron, Paul likes him. I don't. Jason Morrow, we both could see him putting up numbers in the National Football League, although
correct.
He may not be a Gronk-like impact playmaker. Austin Seferian Jenkins certainly has the build. And Arthur Lynch is the best tight end in the draft, hailing from Dartmouth, Massachusetts. If you're looking for a personal...
Troy Nicholas is the guy. You didn't mention the guy I like the most.
Okay, go. Troy Nicholas. We mentioned him earlier.
No. But you just did the recap, and that's the guy I like the most.
Yeah, he's just a guy to me. I think he'd be a fine number two tight end with Gronk.
And that's exactly what the Patriots need. They don't need to be extending all kinds of big resources on another tight end.
That's right, because we're going to count on the little receiving core that could. Paul Perillo.
Then you need to draft a receiver then. You're just defeating
your own. We do drafted receivers. We got receivers everywhere. What are we going to carry, 12 receivers? You promised we weren't going to have a fight, and now we're having a damn fight.
We're getting a fight.
For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. This was another Patriots.com prospect review where we preview
our fight
each and every position and try to mix in a fight. We will be back again on Monday. I know it's a holiday, but we will be here working hard. Or maybe we'll tape it because I'm running a marathon. It could go either way. Till next week, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.